the best pod location ever.
Yeah.
It's like breezy, airy.
Breezy, airy, great mountain view. We're recording.
Oh, what? This is an unexpected beginning.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast entitled Babe with me, Lara Marie Shane-Halls, and a guest that you do know because you heard him last week and you love him, Edward Drosty.
I'm back.
You're back. There was full disclosure, I had a really incredible, amazing guest lined up.
I'm the chump chain. It's sorry you have to settle for me.
I had a whole planned moment that was going to be incredible. And then there was a scheduling snafu. People got sick. Things happened. And so I had to reschedule with this guest. And
stuck with old me.
Now we're stuck with Ed Drosty, but the good news is he's a big fan favorite around these babe parts.
And we're in a really good place right now.
We're in a great location.
And like mental space.
We
have the giggles.
Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, and locationally speaking, things are great.
We're on top of a hill in Lake Arrowhead with essentially a feeling of being 360 in the air.
It's kind of like a birdhouse, like how a bird must feel in a birdhouse.
Yeah. But birdhouses usually don't have windows.
Yeah. Well, they have little holes.
So like a nest, maybe.
Yeah, a total eagle's nest. A bald eagle.
That's where we are.
That's how we are.
Fitting.
Mm-hmm. So we really had a journey this weekend.
Oh my God.
It's been a lot of trolls and challenges.
Yeah.
But successes and rising to the occasions.
It all started. Well, technically it started. We've been thinking about doing this weekend for a while to have a friend with Rayon Rupert.
To have a friend
Kevin get Garland, see Dee Dee and Tim's new place. And
they don't know who any of those people are.
They're really cool.
So that doesn't. I love that you're telling them full names of people as though we had a whole weekend plan to go see TD and Nim's new place. What are you talking about?
I thought some of them might know from the stories.
They don't.
Some of them know from the stories.
Maybe some, but
most don't.
I would say most are alienated by statements of first name basis, needed to go, just get the gang. We had wanted to do a friend getaway, a long weekend friend getaway, California style, for a while. And so we pulled the trigger on a weekend in Lake Arrowhead with a cast of friends.
Yeah.
That you, some of you may know, but most of you don't.
Lars and I really wanted to get a jump start on the weekend.
Yeah.
Because we were not feeling the traffic situation that others were going to take later.
No, it's a total leaving on Friday in LA is a... You have a two-hour window getting out. It's from 11 p.m., 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then if you leave any later than 1 p.m., even 1 p.m. is actually cutting it close. I would revise it and say 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
11 to 12, basically. It's a
11 to 12. 10:30 to 12.
Okay.
If you don't get the fuck out, you will be stuck in wretched Friday traffic that will take you 5 hours to get anywhere. So I, for the first time in my life, said, I will be at your place to pick you up at noon sharp. And lo and behold, I was there at noon sharp, got all packed. We did it. Got out, got on the road. We're here in 2 hours, made record time. And we're just living, laughing, and loving.
It was a sunny day. We were just ready to have our Arrowhead experience.
Great weather. We ascended into the mountains to get that clear mountain air. I was feeling pretty sick because I had a cold. Still kind of have a cold.
But I forgot about that part.
Was making do and just taking Dayquil and living through it.
But things didn't greet us well. That was badly phrased. But basically, we had a rental that was actually, it looked good, but I'm realizing more and more, I probably use Airbnb in my life 9 times. So I don't have a ton of experience with Airbnb and I'm feel like this was a huge learning experience for me.
Yeah.
In terms of how to investigate pictures better.
I've only Airbnb'd, and I really haven't, I've only rented a couple times, but it's been like if another company is like paying for it for like a freelance job or something. So they, in that situation, they usually just choose.
We thought we were going to have like an amazing house. We felt like we were kind of splurging a little bit and we were on the upper end of like chic houses.
Yeah, I had looked and like looked through photos, was trying to find my ideal was like one with a hot tub, because while Ed doesn't like a hot tub, I love a hot tub journey, especially in like cold mountain night to get in a cozy hot tub is like the look.
I don't like to be hot, so a hot tub doesn't work for me.
Yeah, so I found an Airbnb that was like a little on the pricier side, but we said, you know what, this is like a friend's weekend, we're just gonna have like fun. And we pulled the trigger on this Airbnb, and when we got to it, we realized that it was like, looks were totally deceiving.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This person, there's two types of Airbnb houses that we've talked about this weekend. There's those that have property and rent out enough that they know not to leave everything of theirs around. And then there's those that just keep every artifact of their life in their place and just hope you don't ruin it.
Yeah.
And this was that one, but with a Bible-sized book of instructions. Knickknacks, so many photos, like necklaces hanging on a doorknob, like just like all her shit was everywhere.
Yeah, it was like a lot. It was like,
looks like she would just been there.
Like she just packed up a bag and left, but didn't care to like depersonalize her space, which is just a weird, you feel like an intruder in that kind of environment.
It was dark.
Plus the photos had been really like, the photos made it look a lot nicer than it was. It was like wide angle photos, like a lot of natural light, and like they failed to like really capture like the clutter and the knickknacks element.
Yeah. And the
and then
art.
Also near the hot tub was just like dirt everywhere, like like solo cups laying around. It looked like no one had been back there to clean it up. It was literally just like someone's house that they decided to rent for an pretty exorbitant amount of money.
And then also
for
there was
nights.
Like little like mannequin busts, or like what do you call that?
A bust.
A bust without the head.
Yeah.
A breast bust.
Lots of breast busts. Which
were hand-painted on kind of in like a bad, crafty, like butterfly tattoo way. But really her essence was, which was really easy to figure out, was aging rockabilly.
Yeah.
Which I've always thought about in my life is like, if you go to anywhere in the country, just specific to mostly North America, I would say probably Canada too.
Yeah.
The first brand of hipster that arrives is always rockabilly. It is. Like, if you go anywhere...
Like, that was the birth of hipsterdom, was rockabilly.
It's not even necessarily
the...
Well, I mean, swingers was sort of, like, that vibe as well.
Swingers, it was, like, it was not so rockabilly, but it was, like, jazz. It was, like, jazz guy.
Yeah, but the whole, like, cherry tattoos and, like, swing classes and stuff like that.
Yeah, but there's, like...
And, like, cherry poppin' daddies.
Yeah, there was, like, if you put the rockabilly and, like, early... like swingers Venn diagram, they would have a lot of similarities.
I also have to say that like aesthetically, I don't love the rockabilly look that much, but I also have never in my life really gelled with rockabilly people. So I have like a negative association with all things like dice tat, greaser hair. Like, I don't even know like what other...
I think I've known one...
They're not lollers to
I've
me.
Known
There's
one rockabilly person in my life. And she was a friend for a while, but then like not... Like, my rockabilly also is like a pretty much a no.
I've never like... I've known some rockabillies. It's not like I actively dislike them, but they were never null. I mean, they were never law. They were always null. They either were super righteous
mm-hmm.
or like... pointlessly aggressive where you're just like, hey, like, I'm just saying hi. Like, it's like literally.
Like, you say hi, and they're like, what? Like,
yeah, it's like, you're like, it's like Union Pool bartender in Brooklyn is, like, totally, like, just a disgruntled hipster who's just like, hey, man, like, if you don't get the paps, like, I don't know what kind of dude you are.
I just don't understand.
There's I hate that.
There's a really, there's a really big rockability. There's a huge rockability population in Oklahoma City.
Oh, like, I know.
A lot of, yeah, you know that.
Oh, yeah. We can tell that story.
Yeah, and so, like, a lot of people that I knew from, like, college era, post-college.
It's entry point hipsterdom.
Yeah, they stayed in OKC and then, like, just morphed into, like, total rockabilly.
Yeah.
And I think it must have something to do with, like, the, like, Western location of Oklahoma. Like, it's like
It's every single city in the country that has a population over 100,000, there's a rockabilly bar for sure.
No, but like Oklahoma, I'm saying there's like a
John
Smith vast
blues explosion.
There's a vast community of rockabillies.
Some places that I mean, Boston has a fairly large community too.
Yeah, but Oklahoma City is like a lot, and so I'm confronted with
stats. Honestly, can anyone measure? Yeah, rockabilly community sizes and give us like a breakdown?
I would like to know where rockabillies, how they started.
I love
how
crowdsourcing people to the community
adopted that aesthetic. And, like, how it's still going and what are the biggest rockabilly communities
in
the United
States. It
all started
in, like, the 50s.
And yeah, but then people just couldn't let go.
They couldn't let go.
They were like, I love malt shop, like, culture too much. And, like, I've watched Grease 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But I think Grease really actually, the movie, brought rockabilly way back to the forefront.
Yeah.
But Swingers is different than rockabilly.
Okay, I don't know. What's the film in the 90s felt like the rockabilly thing came back strong with the swing culture.
Yeah.
And, like, Mighty Mighty Boston's and stuff like that.
But to me, that's more ska and, like...
You're right, that is. But
that's
still
not as rockabilly.
The aesthetic, though, is adjacent. The music is different. So what I'm talking about here is an overall aesthetic. I'm sure within the community that I call, there's a bigger name for whatever it is. I don't know, greaser?
But it's just, like, you love it more than just, like, dressing up like that for Halloween. But it's, like, you're going to just go the full, because it's
See,
not.
I don't even know what level of, like, how.
Because if you're
at what
rockabilly,
level do you become rockabilly? Because me, it's pretty quickly the line gets crossed. Are you talking about, like, full costume?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think if you're rockabilly, you're not rockabilly, like, a certain percentage of the time. Like,
when
once
I
you're
say
rockabilly
too much, I start to forget what it even means.
It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it's like, what
it's
is
one
rockabilly
of those words
now?
That I'm like, am I even speaking correctly?
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, I think that. Once you go rockabilly, you don't go back. You're
so
rockabilly
true.
For life. You've committed to an aesthetic and a vibe.
You can't get out.
You can't get out of. Like,
I'm sure someone's done it, but I feel like the community hisses at you if you leave or you try to leave. It's like a cult.
Yeah, like, you can't be, like, partial. Like, it's like you can't just have, like, a minimalist mid-century apartment and then have, like, a rockabilly personal style.
No.
Once you've dipped
you
toe,
need to have, like, tiki candles and, like,
it's your entire lifestyle commitment.
You need to have, like, old, like, 60s, like, Hawaiian luau glasses, cat's eyes, and then, like, the girl.
Oh, yeah. Betsy or whatever. The we can do it, like, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That cat eye glasses are key.
You can incorporate a rockabilly, like, accessory, but not go full rockabilly.
No, yeah.
But once you do go full rockabilly, it's
I'm gonna
not
say a cat eye glass for me is you're full in. I don't care if the rest of your outfit is different, you're already in.
I disagree.
Okay. Well, a cherry tat or a tattoo of dice, you're in to me. There's no way out after that. Those are signals for me to them, like, that's your thing now.
You can have,
like, Dickies pants.
You can have one rockabilly tat. No, you can wear Dickies pants and not be rockabilly.
TBD. Find
I know a lot of Dickies pants wearers that would not identify as rockabillies.
Not all rockabillies identify as rockabilly.
I know, but a rockabilly is like, I think what constitutes, I think it's like you have three or more rockabilly type things, then you're in rockabilly.
Okay.
Like, if you had the cat eye glasses and a dice tat or, like, a topless sailor woman.
Like a vintage gingham.
and then a vintage gingham, you've now crossed over your rockabilly stamp on you.
I find it fascinating. Someone needs to analyze it more.
I need more rockabilly studies. Something that's also adjacent to rockabilly that I really take a lot of issue with are teeny tiny top hats.
I never see those, to be honest.
Every once in a while I catch one and it's an instantaneous...
Is it on a man?
No, it's usually on a woman.
Oh, I think of them as like a drag queen accessory.
I don't like them really even then, even though I think that they're funnier and more cheeky. Like, I think they're leaning into, like, the humor of a teeny tiny top hat because, like, it A, serves no purpose, and B, is very, like, Alice in Wonderland, which is also, like, an aesthetic that I only love, like, in that cartoon but not playing out in real life. And then veers into, like, steampunk, which was really not for me either.
Yeah.
But a tiny top hat on a woman is, like, a funny accessory or just, like, a is, like, it's not. I don't think I've ever interacted with... had a positive interaction with anyone wearing
I don't
a teeny
I've ever
tiny
even
top
had
hat.
An interaction with someone with a teeny tiny top hat. How tiny?
Like this tiny. Like a silly, like off to the side.
I've never seen
like
that.
Like it's like a Mad Hatter.
Where are you going that you see this all the time?
I've seen it and it's kind of rockabilly adjacent.
It is adjacent to that. I can see that.
Like when you start to incorporate, like if you go full rockabilly, chances are wherever you shop for your clothing, they've offered a teeny tiny top hat and you may or may not have considered that, but it's like in your world.
I think there's probably a better term for what I'm calling rockabilly because rockabilly, there's so many adjacents. It's an aesthetic, like a Betty Page adjacent.
You have a really
aesthetic
broad...
is also rockabilly to me.
Yeah.
Like any of that stuff is rock. I call rockabilly. So basically my term is not the best, but
no,
I just want the readers to understand
broad.
What I'm painting. I think it's a broad term for me. And I'm still saying that I've not met any funny people in all of that broad term, just so you know. The Cha-Cha Lounge is ground zero for rockabilly vibes. I don't like going to the Cha-Cha. Every time I go,
there's a lot of rockabilly energy in LA.
Yeah, West Coast has a lot.
Yeah, West Coast really.
Portland, Oregon is like a pioneer.
They love it, a rockabilly.
The Bay Area. Some of the biggest rockabillys I've ever met were from the Bay.
Do you think they still live there? I feel
they
like
do. I know one. She's actually kind of a reformed rockabilly, but she can't fully shed it because she's so many tattoos.
You can't. Once
she
you
hasn't
go
gotten
in,
the relief. She hasn't
once you go
it
all in, you're it's a lifestyle. You're really making a lot of choices that may or may not haunt you later in life when you decide to dip out. And you said you want out of the rockabillys. It's like not dissimilar to like being in the Bloods
for babe heads in New York. Rockabilly vibes in New York. I don't even think this is open anymore, but if anyone remembers Mars Bar, that was a classic ground zero for the crusty aggro. You know what? Rockabilly is the wrong term. I'm talking like, I don't know.
It's I'm talking like this, about rockabilly.
I'm talking
I don't
about
know
a lot more.
You're just now just taking issue.
Well, then is Cha-Cha really rockabilly? The tiki themed. It's like
the tiki.
It's that aesthetic. I don't like it.
It's like a PBR.
It's aggressively straight.
Yeah, for the most part. Gays don't really do a rockabilly.
Sometimes they do in like secondary cities and they're like, I gotta do it.
Yeah, it's a way to just fit in and make
yeah,
friends.
Exactly.
Like at Oklahoma City, you either get rockabilly or you probably...
Get out.
Yeah, get out.
Lesbians, I feel like, would be probably more like...
But like non-rockabilly Oklahoma City dwellers are like...
You mean the rest
really
of the city?
Yeah, but like suburban moms with kids are like, it's just like not their scene. I'm talking about more like single people.
Mm.
I don't know a lot of rockabilly parents.
Oh, I do. I do. I've seen them and it's really funny to watch them transition.
Brooklyn's rockabilly quotient really was a turnoff for me and hard to get used to.
It's all over the place.
Brooklyn is kind of a rockabilly ground zero.
No. I think Kansas City had a lot of rockabilities.
Yeah.
Remember?
Rockabilly.
Remember we went to that woman's house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Full-blown rockabilly.
Rockabilly.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
It had like basically like a jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did.
I like a jukebox.
You love that part.
I do.
Anyways, we really went off on a tangent
we
here.
Really
what we're
got
trying to say is
track.
That this rental sucked.
This... Yeah, Yeah, the rental was not great.
And to boot, there was no electricity.
And yeah, and then we tried to like turn on the lights and it was not happening. So then we were like, okay, this could, like, while we are both trolled, this could be a great blessing in disguise because this is our out. Like, once you get to an Airbnb and there's no electricity, you have an instant to cancel.
Yeah, just a hot tip. And get
full refund.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get there and there truly is no electricity in your Airbnb and you're not loving the aesthetic of it, just cancel and demand refund and you'll get it.
Yeah.
So then we did that and then found this a gorgeous Airbnb
for half the price.
And now here we are.
Yeah.
In the better Airbnb.
This is the beginning of our weekend.
Yeah. So this is where it all started. Then.
That was a little bit exhausting, though. That involved about 2.5 hours of phone calls and texting.
Yeah.
And the new Airbnb owner, great place, but had like a wild amount of steps in order to get here.
Yeah. He wanted us to download a YouTube video to watch how you get here, which in theory sounds very like. That's nice, but I would much prefer just written instructions.
Also, can I say that this area has the worst cell reception ever? So we'd be driving and we'd be like, we can't download the YouTube video and we'd have to like find a place, pull over.
Yeah.
And then he also wanted me to download an app that was like a new unlocking key system app. But then I tried registering 8 times. It didn't work. Finally, he relented and gave me the lockbox code and made me promise I wouldn't lose the key. And I promised.
I love that, but you've almost lost it a few times.
but I haven't
hasn't lost it yet. So we get in the new Airbnb and everything
is kind of
is
looking up now.
Looking up, yeah.
That was a little bit of a troll.
But ultimately worked out in really everyone's great. Best interest. Yeah. And it's been like a lovely, lovely time.
We immediately hit the town.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what we even did.
Oktoberfest.
Well, no, before that.
Oh, me and you. Yeah, we sat.
No.
We sat at that bar and tried to organize the things. Then we got the stuff from the supermarket. This is fascinating.
No. Well, I didn't know.
Then we cooked.
Yeah, but I didn't, when we went grocery shopping, that was a whole
Oh
whole
my
saga.
God, I forgot that. Thank God we need to write the list down of all the things that happened. Please go in. Tell.
I didn't know that you're not allowed to take dogs in a grocery store. I thought, what? I see people with their dogs in Whole Foods all the time.
Really?
I saw someone with like a fucking German Shepherd in Whole Foods the other day. It's the Wild West. Like, LA spoils you as far as like dog rules are concerned because it's such like a dog psycho place that like you take your dog everywhere. So, and when I was in a grocery store on Friday before we left, I brought Tony in and a woman was like, Erewhon. You can't do this. And I was like, he's ESA, which he is. And then she was like, okay.
So I can't believe you said yes.
He is ESA.
Okay.
He is.
Yes.
And so, oh, I already know.
She's stern.
Unrelatable.
No, okay, keep going.
More unrelatable content. So, I took him in this grocery store and just figured if someone asked me to leave, I would leave. Like, I'm not
I meanwhile, felt like I was on mushrooms because everyone looked like a creature. I saw someone molting. I did. I felt like I was tripping balls.
Ed is really... I've
Don't.
Then don't say
okay,
it.
I just was saying.
You can't talk shit about like the population of the
city. I did not talk shit. I just said the supermarket then was wild.
I know, but that's like.
It was like really a wild
journey.
I'm
like trying to figure out what's throwing Ed off his game about the people in like the town of Lake Arrowhead. And we won't get into it, but let's just say I've narrowed it down. And I can't like.
I don't feel fully at ease. We'll just leave it at that.
But I'm going to say.
It's pretty conservative.
I understand where you're coming from, but we're on their turf. So yeah. It's like.
So you don't bring dogs into supermarkets.
Yeah. So you don't bring dogs into supermarkets. But I learned the hard way because Tony peed in an aisle of the supermarket, which was wild and out of character. And I was mortified.
She was so startled by it that she actually ran over to me, and I was in the like dairy area with a freezer door open.
No, you were next to me.
Yeah, but you walked over quickly and just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Faced the wall, and I was like, clean it up. You were like in full blown panic. Should I leave?
I didn't know what I should do. And then I finally like was able to go in full like fight or flight mode. Finally went into like fight. So I went and got like paper towels and I was going to clean it up. And like, I was just trying to like make it right. I really didn't think he's been like pretty housebroken for the most part and hasn't done anything like that. And I truly just didn't think it would happen. I would never have brought him in a grocery store if I had even thought there was a percentage of that happening. So I was mortified. I was cleaning up Tony's pee, and then this woman walked by, was not a worker at the grocery store, just a random towns lady, was like, "That's why we don't bring dogs in the grocery store." And I was like, okay, like, I guess I deserve that, but like, whatever, I'll keep cleaning it up. And then she walked by me and said that, then turned on her heel to walk back by me and keep giving me a talking to. And she was like, "I have a dog that I would love to bring to the grocery store, but I don't because it's illegal." And then I was like, okay, cool. And then she turned again to walk by me again. She goes, "That's disgusting." And I said, and at that point, I'd had enough shame for one day. And I go, okay, thanks for the talk. And then she muttered and like walked off.
And went to go talk to the management.
She went to go talk to someone else about like her outrage.
That's disgusting.
Disgusting. And I was like, I don't disagree with you. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. It's not that gross. It was a concrete.
Tiny puddle of dog pee.
It was a tiny puddle. But then I did get trolled because I was hoping like no one would really notice and I'd be able to clean it up pretty quickly. And I was walking back to it with my paper towels and this dad and his babies, like pushing these kids in a stroller, like turned the corner. And then his baby daughter goes, "Look, Dad, water!" And then pointed and like yelled out.
You told me that, I still don't understand. I don't think when I was a kid, when I saw water, it was worth pointing out.
Well, this girl loved water. And so she was like, fully narked me out. And then I was like front and center trying to clean up. Meanwhile, Tony's like running in the puddle and then running all around, which I was like, this is not helping. And then I was being actively shamed by a Lake Arrowhead resident. And I was just trying to do my best. I'll never bring him in the grocery store again. I'm really sorry.
What I love though is that you didn't leave the grocery store. You came and like, we like finished grabbing a couple items.
What else would he do?
You waited in the line. Finally, the manager came to you and was like, "Ma'am, you need to take the dog outside."
I said, "I know, I'm doing it."
I thought you had learned from before.
Well, I thought
you needed an official.
I needed an official.
You were like, "So far, I'm just working with the locals," and I feel like
the locals are not fans.
No,
and I get it, but I also am like, I just didn't need to be shamed in that moment.
No, you didn't.
But it was fine. Ultimately, I'll have you all know that it was fine. And I'll never bring Tony in the grocery store again. I get it now why dogs aren't allowed in the grocery store. I truly didn't know. Because Whole Foods, they don't stop
anyone. Are you going to be a narc now?
No.
Like, excuse me. That's illegal.
I'm not a narc. Because remember when we were sitting outside and they said that dog, I sound like a really wild dog owner.
You are a little bit.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You really back down from that?
Well, no. I don't feel like getting into it.
We were on a dog-friendly patio, and there was another dog off-leash. And so I took Tony off-leash just to see what he would do. And he was just running around.
That really got you.
But then a woman came up to me. She was like, "There are no dogs off leash here." So I re-leashed him. But the other dog, meanwhile, a local's dog, got to remain off leash.
It sounds like you have more problems with the locals than I do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I've really like bumped up hard against the locals, and I'm learning like the boundaries. But I'm just like full immersion, trying to get in there, just like mesh. You know what I mean? It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
You meanwhile are like, oh, you can't even interact. You're like,
no,
oh.
That's true.
It was so true. You're like, oh, they scare me. It's not true. It's true.
It's not.
You're like, I don't know, but I can't put my finger on it, but I feel really unsettled here.
I can't breathe. Oh my god.
And can't even like with the learning as I go.
Oh, please.
I am. I am. Neither of us, I don't think, are rubbing them the right way.
I haven't had that many interactions. Yeah, but I keep to myself.
You do keep totally to yourself.
I keep it to myself and I don't rock the boat.
I love
because I get nervous. Some of them feel aggressive.
The only way I can learn is to rock the boat.
Yeah. You do know how to rock the boat.
I do. Some of us have different styles.
Oh my God.
So.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
After all that dog drama, we set out yesterday for like a delicious lunch on a hill, like a cliffside restaurant.
Wait. This is a now a day later.
Yeah.
We're doing this chronologically. I just wanted to like...
I know. So I'm going in chronological
order. We're skipping Tall Girl?
Oh, well, I kind of half watched Tall Girl.
You watched most of it.
That's true, actually. Tall Girl was wild.
Tall Girl was something that I never expected.
Yeah. I didn't... Like, I've seen people talking about it a lot on social media, but I didn't realize how truly baffling the concept of the movie was. Like, this girl... It's about... Tall Girl's a movie on Netflix that's getting just, like, eviscerated online, and everyone's just like, what? And, like... It's about a girl who's the tallest freak girl in her school, and she's 6'1", which is 2 inches taller than me, and, like, in the scheme of tallness...
And she's, like, pretty and blonde
yeah,
and white.
Yeah, she's, like, stunning, like, gorgeous, tall, blonde, white girl.
And she's, like, harassed to no end.
Literally walks down the hall at school, and everyone that passes, how's the weather up there? And then they high-five, and she's getting verbally abused by all her peers.
And her father.
And her father keeps being like, what's medically wrong with you? And it's like literally
she's just
nothing.
6'1".
She's like gorgeous, and he's threatened by her like supreme goddess energy, and like everyone, it's like, it's a movie. It's like a backwards world movie.
Yeah,
like where it's like no one conducts their lives like this. There's no semblance of reality. But this isn't like we're not dealing with like magical realism. It's just like I don't understand how this movie even got made.
It's not a huge community, Tall Girl.
Because if she was Tall Girl, like the one thing that they could have done to just change the movie, because the way they shot it.
They shot it to make it look like she was
6'7",
gigantic.
Which she should have been.
Yeah.
That is a true Tall Girl. That's someone even I would be like, whoa, how's the weather up there? Is something that I would think. Because I've seen like really, really tall girls before. And as a tall girl myself, when you go really tall, even I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
But they didn't even make her that tall.
That's the thing I don't understand about it.
Yeah. It's an unclear.
They were just like, you're basically a model height. And like, you're going to be ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just was like, also, I just have to say this. I've been really fascinated lately with teen Netflix movies or series or whatever.
A lot of them are really good.
I know. Some of them
are. Kissing Booth, I loved.
I haven't seen it.
I loved that movie. And then,
wasn't there one about like a girl called like a red haired girl? There was.
Can you narrow that down?
It was like her name. It was like Samantha or like, oh my God. I think it's a girl from Stranger Things. Or no, maybe it was from It Fall. I don't remember. It was a red haired girl. And it was like being Sandra. I don't know.
Do you know what it was about?
Yeah, it was just about a girl that like was like felt ostracized.
Okay. Then there was To All the Boys.
It was a red haired. I'm just kidding.
Love the To All the Boys I've Loved Before, which was also great.
Never seen that.
So how big into the teen Netflix world?
Well,
are
I've
you?
Seen like Dear Simon or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Love Simon, which I guess wasn't Netflix but actually a mainstream movie, but same genre. And I've seen the other one that Craig directed, and I've seen a couple more.
Okay.
But the point that I was trying to make is that it's every time I watch one of them, including like series that I have no idea about, without fail, if you Google any character on the show, they all have millions of followers and they're actually giant stars that I'm unaware of.
Yeah, completely. They're huge celebrities.
There was a character in Tall Girl who had approximately 4 to 6 lines. The girl with the glasses, mm-hmm. was like a very, like, not even a secondary character. She was like a almost background.
Yeah.
And she had millions of followers. Mm-hmm. She was a huge star.
The smallest following that like a cast member of Tall Girl had was what? Like 80,000 followers?
Yeah. And that was like chump change.
Yeah. That was like starting level how you have to be in like one of these Netflix movies. It's crazy. But I guess like what's wild is to think that the teens that love these people are watching Tall Girl and loving every second of it.
I don't even think they're, to be honest, I think what we're really missing, they're not teens. They're like 8-year-olds.
Okay.
I think honestly, this whole world is basically like 14 and under. Maybe they're 13, 14, but like, I don't even think a 17-year-old is going to watch them and be like, that's fucking amazing.
Preteens.
It's for children.
Tweens.
It's tweens. It's children tween life.
Children and tweens. Okay. Wow. Children and tweens are making the world go round.
They literally dictate everything.
They're dictating this podcast.
Do you have tweens?
Well, no. What I'm saying...
If you're a tween, write Lara Marie.
I would love a tween if someone wrote in and was like, I'm 12.
Every once in the blue moon, there would be a fan that would like come to the show with their parents who would be that. And it would be them, not the parents.
Love that.
I thought that was cool.
That is cool. Yeah. If you're young, I want to know who my youngest reader is. Right.
There's got to be one.
One like cool 13-year-old. I'm talking to you right now. If that's you, write in babepodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, Tall Girl was a real trip.
It's 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. It was pretty atrocious all around, but really fun to watch with a group of friends.
Fun to get really stoned and
yeah,
watch
that's
it.
What it was. We got stoned and then it just, you can't believe what was made.
Yeah.
It's just endlessly baffling and fascinating.
It's even a glimpse I would say into just people, like how I would say people that are bullied at school aren't even bullied to the extent that Tall Girl was bullied. You know what I mean?
No, she wasn't physically assaulted.
Not physically assaulted, but I'm saying every second corner of her she life. Turned, yeah. Someone would be like, "Fucking giant over here!" Like they and like making a comment
even
about
at the
her,
supermarket. Which, yeah, strangers.
Which, strangers. Every single person she interacted
all
with
all age group
was bullying her. And I don't think that any actual bullied person has ever experienced every single person in their entire life that they meet from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they go to sleep bullying.
Including their father.
Yeah.
There was basically no safe place.
There's no safe place for Tall Girl. Even though she was just like,
what I love about these movies is that everyone's like a switch goes off 3/4 of the way into the movie. Once the character has become like accepted and stood up for themselves, everyone suddenly is like, oh my God, you're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what happened at Tall Girl. But maybe she has to have a humbling moment like all characters do where they get too big.
Maybe the 8-year-olds that are watching, 6'1" is really tall to the 8-year-olds.
It is.
When you're tiny like that.
I just feel like Tall Girl could have been aimed at a larger audience.
Yeah.
If they just tweaked a couple of things.
My note to Tall Girl would have been just make her 6'5 to 6'7. That
get
is
some
an
better
actual
jokes.
Tall Girl. I wouldn't even mind. If she was just actually super tall, then I would forgive everything else. A very minor note to make. Like an easy note to take and apply and then make the movie
wouldn't
hundreds
cost any
of times
money.
Better. A little bit of money to redub every time she's like, I'm 6'1". Just
she
have
said
her be
it
like,
one time.
Yeah, I'm 6'7".
One time.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd cost like $10.
Yeah.
No, it'd probably cost like whatever her scale, her day rate is. Maybe $1,000.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, but like...
It would have helped.
It would have helped a lot. What's your note for Tall Girl?
My note is that it felt... Like, a lot of the teen comedies now actually do have, like, feel like they're living in 2019. This felt like it was, like, 1982. Like, it was, like, I don't know. It's just, like, no one harasses people like that. It was, like...
No one cares that much.
Yeah, it just felt like old school dumb bully. Like, it was just, like, completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
It was, like, every character was a caricature of that type of character.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like it could have been better.
And also what we realized is that if she's 6'1".
The guy who's from Wisconsin who plays the Swedish character and gave probably didn't spend even a minute trying to get a Swedish accent is really a baffling
point. One of the worst performances in any movie in the history of cinema.
He just truly, he didn't even try.
And how many followers does he have?
500,000.
Love.
It's the sister.
Still not that many.
It's the sister of Tall Girl who has the most.
Yeah, I guess she was a former Disney star, so that's why she has 20 million followers.
Tall Girl's up to about 1 mil.
So your Tall Girl note is like, don't make everyone obsessed with how tall she is.
Yeah, and just maybe make them like a slightly more realistic in 2019.
Also, we all realized that in order to make this movie and make Tall Girl look so tall, they must have cast everyone in the movie as like incredibly short. Like, they didn't cast anyone over like 5'5".
Really, honestly, they didn't. The boy they cast is her like love interest.
It's like 4'2".
He was so small.
He was so small. And they
small
shoot
boy.
Her with the angle.
The movie was actually called Small Boy.
That would have been a better movie.
Yeah.
Let's make this movie about a small boy.
I like that. Small man.
Small guy.
Wait, it's like the guy from the bagel shop.
What?
Don't you remember that video of the guy with the bagel shop?
Yeah. I want like, his like... Tall Girl movie. He's really going through it. He feels like Tall Girl. He's being bullied by everyone. That's his perception. He walks through life feeling like everyone's bullying.
I wonder
him.
If he would like Tall Girl.
I wonder if he's watched it. I should have him on this podcast.
You should.
He's a babe.
He's a babe. He's insane. He's also an insane misogynist. He's definitely trying to milk his fame, so he'd probably do it.
I'll bet he would do it.
Yeah, but the problem is he lives in Long Island.
That's okay. I can travel.
Oh, okay. Do it.
I would love to hear
you and him talk for an hour.
I'll bet we could find some common ground.
Yeah, I bet you could.
I'm like probably his most hated type of person.
You're a tall girl.
A tall girl.
This is a great episode that has to be made.
Yeah,
I think so. Really
I'm
want.
On it. I'm going to work on it. Post Tall Girl, we.
Went to bed,
yeah. That was it.
I was like, what are you going
No, but I was going to get into, we went for brunch the next day.
Oh, God. This is where things really took a twist.
This is where things have taken a turn.
Hortensia's
Cafe, which is great. It's like a beautiful view and like good like Mexican, like Tex-Mex food. Except I made a pretty big mistake by ordering the chorizo and eggs. And now that has come back to haunt me at least 8 times. I've had low grade food poisoning for about a day.
Explosive diarrhea.
Now. Yeah.
Like full blown.
I've had a full
blown. You said today
blown...
you were in full liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just feel like it's great that we're getting back to Brew Talk because it is sort of one of the first episodes I ever did.
Yeah.
It's like a full circle moment for us.
That
this weekend turned out to be a really big brew adventure for you.
A huge brew down weekend. I didn't see that coming at all if you'd asked me because we were even talking on the way up here.
Yeah.
I was like, I meant to brew before we left, but then it wasn't really happening and time was of the essence. So I didn't. And now like I probably won't brew the whole weekend because I'm in like a new environment. That did not happen. The opposite of that happened, actually.
Everywhere.
Where I've been brewing
You actually
non-stop.
Just said today you spread your brew all over the community.
Yeah. I've opened up several microbreweries.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
It's
so brew
been,
crew's going strong for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and I too got a little rumble from it too, but I think that's because I'm just eating a lot of jalapenos.
Yeah, you're on a real jalapeno kick.
Sometimes I get it in my head that if I eat a lot of like raw jalapenos, that like it's really good for
me. It's a great diet.
Yeah.
You should publish a book called The Drosty Diet, The Drosty Method.
The jalapeno.
And it's really just add jalapenos to everything. You're like, studies have shown that if you add jalapenos to everything, you'll really get things moving.
Studies.
Just say it.
I know people
never reference what actual studies they are, but be like, I had an inkling. Well, I was wondering why my weight loss wasn't going as quickly as it happened. Then I had an inkling. What if I just added jalapenos to everything?
Or even habaneros.
Yeah. The spicier, the better.
Yeah. It's basically the spice diet. You just eat a shit ton of raw. Raw is key. And don't get the seeds out. Eat the seeds.
Yeah.
Trust. You're going to have sting ring, but a lot's going to also...
So do you feel,
I still feel like it kind of works. It's like you get a real big blowout, like pretty consistently.
Are you looking like, I feel pretty cleansed despite having eaten a lot this weekend. I'm feeling still, it's pretty much like in and out at this point.
Yeah. I'm glad I decided to go full spice this weekend. I liked it.
Okay.
But I will say on a side note about, since I do talk about bathrooms a lot on my stories and also just we brew talk a lot, I just thought for the first time in my life today when I looked down and was about to brew and I was going to put the little like protective cover on at the restaurant to brew. And then I was like, it's one of those weird toilets where someone decides to like blade tag the toilet seat.
Oh yeah.
And then I thought
to myself, a carved toilet seat.
And then I thought to myself, at what point, what does it take to get to the point where you start to like carve up seats, toilet seats? And like, I mean, what kind of gratification do you get where you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna cut this motherfucker up?
I think it's meth related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also kind of sums up my ambivalence about the community.
I would say it's ambivalent.
There's a drug, though. There's a druggy vibe.
There's a bit of a druggy vibe, but it's also just like...
You think so? I'd like to know also if there's studies have been done about toilet seat carving and meth use and what the Venn diagram is.
Maybe you should
is.
Fund that study.
I would literally love nothing more.
Yeah.
Meth use and toilet carving.
I think that it's maybe not meth, but stimulant related.
Okay. So coffee?
Maybe a lot of coffee, maybe too much over caffeinated.
Like a Trenta cold brew from Starbucks, and you just start to have to take it out on the
like
seat.
Trenta behavior.
And then do you start when you do it once, like because you would just happen to like come from class with like an X-Acto knife, you were making a model or something,
or you
then
just
you
have
start
a
carrying
blade.
A switchblade around or an X-Acto knife.
You have your pocket knife, you have your trusty switchblade, and then it's like once you've started carving,
you can't get out. It's kind of like being a rockabilly.
It's
I feel
a little
like.
Bit like that, and I feel like there's probably a Venn diagram of rockabillies and toilet seat carvers, and a lot of crossover there.
I want to know more about. Has anyone? I think chances are you have thousands and thousands of readers. Chances are there's one reader that has dabbled in toilet seat carving.
Yes. Have you carved a toilet seat?
And I want to, you be honest, you can write in anonymously. I want to know what you were going through. Was it a high point in life, a low point? Were you on drugs? And what did you carve? Your name, a message, a poem? I can't usually read toilet seat carvings. Like they're kind of messy. I wish they were a little cleaner for me to read.
Yeah.
So I could get what they're trying to say.
You have one chance to make your mark on a toilet seat. You know what I mean?
I could pull up my image. I took a picture today. It's very like slashy.
It's only slash. You can really only slash.
It's hard to curve carve, I think.
Yeah.
I'm getting. Let's see what this one says. Can you make this out?
Mo? Mother?
It says mother?
Mate? I don't know.
There's an M involved, I think, which is an easy letter to carve, I think. An O would be hard.
O would be really hard. It says ATM, I see.
Love that.
I don't know. I feel like maybe this person was just like doing a lot of carve. Whatever came into the moment, maybe tried to make an O, but then they realized quickly it wouldn't work. So then they'd kind of reframed. It looked like they kept starting with an idea, but then realizing it would be too hard to carve. And by the time they really realized what they could carve, they'd already carved up the whole seat.
I just can't believe I've been alive 40 years and I've never had a single conversation in my life with anyone about the toilet carver community. No one's brought it up. It's never been a joke in a movie, but we all know that they're out there. There's a lot of them. And they have. I need
to meet
one.
Is it like you couldn't carve the wall, or like what makes you go for the seat over another surface?
It's sort of avant garde.
It's a hard carve, but also a very germy, dirty carve. Like you're gonna have to rest one hand on the seat, so you're gonna touch something that many other people's asses have sat on, and probably touch where people have backsplashed.
Oh, for sure.
You're interacting with fecal
that's
matter.
What I want to know. What takes you to that level where it's like, what is the thrill? Is it being that close to where the turds happen? Like it's like what, it's like you must get something extra big out of it.
With danger.
There's a danger involved.
Yeah, I too am now curious. Yeah, right. Yeah. Now that we've talked about it, I want
to
know.
I knew it was something that needed to be discussed.
It is an absolutely necessary discussion. One thing I will say, we need to be having as Americans.
Yes, it's an American thing. I don't think I've ever seen a carved toilet in Europe.
It's a very uniquely American thing to carve a toilet seat.
It's an angry message.
I just don't
understand.
If I was a carver... I actually have PTSD because one time when I was in fourth grade, this girl was bullying me and she was just like relentlessly bullying me. I don't know why she like had a real chip on her shoulder against me. I think tall I like girl. Blocked it out. Maybe because I was a tall girl. She carved my name on the bathroom wall and then a teacher came to get me and they were like, what is this? Why'd you do this? Like pulled me out of class and I was like, I didn't do it. And then
I'm your not- full name? Shane Halls?
Yeah.
It's a long name to
I know,
carve.
But she, like,
there's a lot of S's.
I know. They're like, and I love the teacher being like, there's only one person that could have done this because it's probably like a hard name to carve. And so, and it's like a hard name to spell. So then I was like, put on blast. I was like, I did not carve. I'm not tagging my name.
I don't care about marker taggers or spray paint taggers. I don't care.
No.
I want to know strictly about the carving community.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it's a carve in wood. I don't care about wood. I want to know toilet seat carve.
Why?
And like a drywall carve.
Maybe because the toilet seat is an interesting surface.
You got some sort of... Well, you do feel it on your butt.
It.
You can feel a carved seat.
No, but like when you're carving it, like carving a plastic like that is like a more satisfying than carving the wall, which could be like a scratch.
I don't know whether carvers are doing it because of textures. I think... But I'd be interested to know.
Yeah. And what point are you like, and then you probably have to get down on the floor. Knees on the floor with one hand to brace yourself on the seat.
So you're one very foot up, close. Holding the stall door closed.
Yeah, making sure no one comes. You're basically crouched over almost as though you were vomiting. But instead, you're gripping on to just carve. It's a limited, it's a real, you have a lot of limitations in this medium.
Yeah, but it seems to be a thing that people do everywhere.
Yeah.
So I would like to know.
Yeah.
And if you are afraid to say that you carved, tell a story about someone you know that carved.
Yeah.
Just some intel.
There have to be some carvers out there.
There has to be.
There's actually, I cannot fathom that there's 0% carvers
in your audience. Yeah, your readers.
Listenership. Yeah.
There has to be a carver, and don't feel shame about it.
No, we're genuinely curious.
Email.
We're opening up a dialogue about toilet seat carving.
Yeah.
Email babepodcast@gmail.com. Should we do some reader mail?
Oh my God, already?
I know. I told you it goes by fast.
We carved, we chatted about carving, and then we're straight to mail.
Mm-hmm. I just got a notification on his phone. Basically, he also bribed me because when we were driving up here, he was like, just stay for another night. Stay for another night. And I was like, I really have shit to do on Monday. I've got to figure out this like recording shit, like blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I'll do babe with you if you promise to stay another night and watch the Emmys with me. And I was like, okay, fine. And then he was like, just got his phone notification that says, watch the Emmys.
Can I just say bye? I'm not that psychotic. The thing is,
you
the new
love the Emmys.
No, listen. There's a new operating system that just was released for Apple for iPhone, and one of the things is that now reminders are really easy. Just to be like, hey Siri, like remind me to do this, and I tested it out saying, remind me to watch the Emmys on Sunday. Three.
I don't want to forget.
I don't want to
really don't want to forget. There's a huge chance that I could.
It's my favorite award show.
Really?
Just kidding.
You love an award show, though.
I like
you always are watching an award show.
I like
show.
It with a friend. You know what I won't watch?
What?
The MTV Awards. I don't watch
no,
that.
No, I haven't watched those in years.
And I don't really watch the Grammys, oddly. I don't really like the Grammys.
I don't either.
I don't like those outfits.
Okay. Two follow-up cues. I'd love a follow-up.
Oh, okay.
Hey, babe. Writing in with follow-up questions to recent babe eps. First, to follow up on Ed's disdain for Antony's antics from Queer Eye, I totally agree, but the true babe of Antony is him and Tan commenting back and forth on each other's Instagrams. Am I the only one who notices this? It's like partial baby talk, partial flirting. Fully babe? Second, I loved hearing you and Alina discuss finances and was curious with your Airbnb journey. What are your best tips for doing this if you get to that place in your life? I'm considering it, but I don't know what to do with all my stuff, etc. I just wanted to see if you could share your experience. Cheers. My Airbnb journey has thankfully like come to a close because I'm now like financially solvent on podcasting and writing. So
to readers like you.
Yeah. So to which I owe you all a huge thank you. But basically I would take, I didn't want any of my personal
stuff. We were just talking about this.
Yeah. I think that the less personal artifacts you have on display, the better. So I would buy storage like bins from Container Store, like Rite Aid or whatever. And I would just like pretty much put any little knickknack or whatever that had like personal meaning in them. I would put all my toiletries in them. I would take anything off countertops like that wasn't necessary, like necessary to be there.
And don't try to sell your liquor like the Rockabilly woman did.
Oh yeah, Rockabilly woman had, I've never seen this in an this Airbnb.
Insane.
She had an what was called like an dusty honesty old bar.
Bottles of like her booze.
Like old bottle. There was like one bottle of like blueberry vodka and like another bottle of like citrus vodka that were like half full.
Yeah.
And then she was like 6 ounce pours.
No, 2 ounce pours.
2 ounce pours, $6. So be honest. And it was like, bitch, no one wants your old dirty vodka. Like no one wants it. I'll be honest.
Another strike against Rockabilly's.
I hate the honesty bar. Yeah, I would just try and put away as much of your stuff as possible. So I would put it all in bins and then put it in my closet, which thankfully I had a lot of like storage space in my apartment. And then I would put blankets over all of that. And I would also put like a blanket over any of my stuff in the closet and like push it all back so people had enough room to hang their clothes, because I did keep clothes in the dressers, which I know some people really don't like. And I get that, but there was honestly no other place to put my clothes that were in the dresser.
Yeah.
So the Airbnb people just like had to deal with that. But yep. I never had a problem with anyone that was like, I've never had anything less than a five-star review. What?
No one tried on your clothing.
I don't know if they did try on my underwear. I'll never know. And I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But I think depersonalize as much as possible.
Oh, it's key.
It's key and can take a really long time. So carve out like a day, like to do all of that. Definitely like make sure your place is as clean as it possibly can be. For a while, I didn't even pay, like I didn't have a cleaning person.
Also, if you don't want people to eat or drink your shit, don't leave your food and alcohol around.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a rule. Like, there was so much food at her house too.
Yeah. Anything that was like
just some olive oil and salt, just leave that.
Yeah. Anything that was on view in my kitchen, like, was theirs for the taking. Like, no matter what it was. And if I had food that I needed to take with me, I would just take it to your house because that's where I was staying during the Airbnb era.
Yeah.
But like, and then I would just say in like the house instructions, I'd be like, I've left space for you with a lot of hangers in the closet. Like, beyond that, like, please don't mess with the closet doors or anything. And that's because that's where all my other like personal artifacts were. So you just have to really depersonalize your space because mm-hmm. no one likes feeling like they're walking into like
an intruder,
someone else's like apartment, especially if they don't like the way that you like decorate and they don't like your sense of knickknack style.
I.E.S. on Friday.
Very judgy with a knickknack.
Yeah.
Extremely knickknack judgy.
As for the back and forth comments between JVN and Tan, I don't follow either, but I've seen them and it doesn't soothe me and I don't really understand the point of it. It almost seems like just like you need more attention, but I guess that's just their thing. I don't know.
I haven't seen it either because I don't follow either of them.
But I guess it happens a lot because you're writing about it and it seems like something that you've noticed.
They're just
a lot.
Like silly flirters.
It's not just like once a week. It sounds like it's like every post or something.
Every post.
But they're like, hi!
I kind of like that.
You do? Okay, great.
I mean, whatever. I'm like, I'm not affected by it because I don't follow and I don't even, I really don't watch that show. So I'm kind of like.
I don't usually read other comments.
I'm out of the
celebrity
loop.
Things.
Someone writes, the French are brew trolls.
Oh.
Bonjour. I was recently in Paris, mostly for the sake of wandering around and getting out of LA for a bit. Mostly, I love, like, I need to wander around. Guess I have to go to Paris. That sounds like a you like, thing to do.
Yeah, like a 12-hour flight. It's just like, I gotta get out.
Really needed to wander.
Need to get out of town for the weekend.
I just Paris. Really was dying for a wander around journey. Paris it is. One morning, I grab my standard cafe latte and vanilla eclair. I find that you can only eat pastry and still lose weight if you only eat once a day. Maybe it must be why the French are so thin. Then got on the subway with the intent of checking out the Musée du Parfum. I got off at Saint-Lazare and was immediately trolled by this entire situation. It was like a sad New Jersey mall, think Bath & Body Works / Journeys type of stores, plus a train station plus a parking garage. I felt a rumbling in my tum, but was comforted by the fact that there had to be plentiful restrooms in this large multi-purpose crowded space. Boy, was I wrong. First of all, there were no signs for the toilettes, simply icons of little people doing things I couldn't quite correlate with a particular activity. For example, a little man running, three little people standing in a line. I'm starting to panic as I can feel the brew arriving and I'm running around asking people. We'll get into the scale. Où est la toilette? Anxiously. I'm finally pointed to the third floor, do a full loop, only to find that there's a single bathroom for men and women, and there are about 15 people in line.
Oh my God.
Fuck, I think. Well, the museum is only an 8-minute walk. I'll just book it there.
Oh, shit.
An 8-minute walk on a real brew down.
It's treacherous.
No, that's, you're really rolling the dice.
That's like Noah's trilogy.
Territory. About halfway there, I realize I'm not going to make it to my destination with my pants intact, so I run into Printemps, which seems like a Bergdorf-type establishment. Où est la toilette? I accidentally scream at someone. She tells me, oh, they don't have bathrooms, but I can run across the street to Printemps Femme, a whole other building. I have no choice but to oblige as I'm near crowning. As I'm now turtling, crowning. Yeah. Again, zero signage for the toilettes. I find them on the top floor and luckily there's one stall open. Unfortunately, that stall has a dirty pad and a dirty diaper hanging out in the bin, but I have no choice but to enter and let it rip. I'm writing you this email from my stall.
That's amazing.
I love that.
Hats off to you.
My question is... Why so hard to find restrooms in Paris? Is everyone consty? Are people not emergency shitting at least twice a month like me, lolling my way through Paris? Wow. You need to add
this. I love that you decided to take a long sit down on this shit.
I love a long sit down.
She's like, I'm going to craft an email.
I know. That email, writing that length of an email would have taken me 3 hours. I've never drafted an
email
on the toilet.
No. I usually read, don't draft.
Yeah, I love a read. No drafting. Just consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to add this to your 2020 platform.
Yeah.
More toilet signage.
Yeah.
In Paris, but probably all of Europe.
And ice for all of
Europe.
Because that's important for me.
We established a brew scale today, though. I did. That's like on a scale of 1 to turtling. Where are you at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all know the closer you are to your envisioned toilet, the closer the turtle comes.
Your scale, your brew number starts to rise.
Exponentially.
Yeah.
Like an earthquake.
Yeah. By the time you're reaching, it is just rising and rising until you can finally blow out. And that's when it's a 10.
And then if you've really, that's satisfying to have written the email.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was, yeah, I'd like to know more details. Like how many wipes did you have left? Like... Was it a stop-start situation where you think you're done, then you just have to keep sitting and waiting it out?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer of why toilet situation in Paris. I would say, though, that I've been in New York, and it's not always the easiest to find a toilet either.
Yeah, New York makes it very difficult.
I mean, generally speaking, a Starbucks is your friend.
Starbucks is great, though... I don't know. I feel like Parisian people, from my experience, love making things difficult and kind of trolly.
Yeah. They do like an unnecessary difficult moment.
And they feel like they also, they're not brew friendly. And like their mentality is like, it's like not a brew culture.
No.
It's a definite not brew culture.
They're probably proud of that.
Yeah.
And honestly, hats off to them.
I know. That's pretty cool.
I mean, we're a toilet seat carving culture mm-hmm. and a brew culture.
Yeah.
America.
America very much stands as that.
As a shit country.
Mm-hmm. But like Paris is a little more highbrow.
Yeah.
Mad.
It was really great accent.
Except French do love just like a dog shit on the sidewalk.
They no do pickup. Love that.
Yeah. So in that sense, they are brew friendly in a very distinctly un-American way.
Yeah.
Where you're basically a terrorist if you don't pick up after your dog. But like, it's just weird. It's backwards. It's like driving in Britain versus America. The way they are with poop.
It's a great comparison.
It's like that. All right. We got to wrap it up. Anything left to say?
No.
Perfect. That's great. I love
that. It is perfect.
You can follow Ed on Instagram at edrosty. You can follow me at Lars Marie. If you want a bonus episode, you can go to patreon.com/babepodcast. There are weekly bonus episodes for a low, low price of $5 a month. You get weekly bonus eps, which is a really great deal.
Last week, we reviewed a lot of candles and it went over really well.
Last week was a candle haul and I got so many messages from readers saying more candle hauls, please.
We've been trying to figure out how it is we can get companies to start sending us free candles to review.
Yeah, because there's a big overhead for a candle haul.
Yeah.
So, it's
because I went on the shopping spree that we were able to do the candle haul.
That's true. You were the executive producer of last week's bonus episode. So yeah, we'll be constantly thinking about that. And that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
Babe?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.